The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. We've got Coach Larry Zierlein with us here. We've been talking about Coach Yeoman. Let's talk a little football now, though, and where we're at. And with the college football, we've got some problems. There were some problems at Pitt, some problems at Syracuse, some problems at Florida State. With the testing, the players, some of the players walked out, some of the players unhappy. Coach, I don't know if you've been seeing all the news. I've never seen a time where players, you know, we used to be just, coach said it, you just did it. Now the players have a voice like they've never had before. And I'm not so sure it's a bad thing, coach, but it certainly is different than when you were coming up and coaching and before that playing, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it really is different, and I've got to tell you, I'm not following it as close as I used to. I'm I guess a little disgusted with everything that's going on there in college football right now. But the players do have a voice, and you know, there comes a point there where you still got to have the coach-player relationship, and somebody's got to say, here's what we're going to do, without having to debate everything. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that we need change in. And certainly the things that that's being done today are changes needed. But we can't change every single thing, and I think that you know, there still has to be someone who runs the team, who calls the plays, who coaches it, and the players have to do what they're asked to do. And, boy, I'm seeing so much now where players are making determinations about what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. I don't know if that's good or not.
Well, it's going to be – well, one thing we know is two conferences have shut it down for the fall. So one of the things we were interested in, because you've taken part in spring practices as a college coach – now, granted, well, I mean, last time you coached college was, I think, 2000, but you've also done it on the pro side, which obviously is completely different. How difficult do you think that's going to be for a Big Ten and Pac-12 who are looking to have games in the spring? And I think in this case, spring has to mean February. There's just no way around it. And then ramping it up for the very next season in the fall. How challenging do you think that's going to be from a football standpoint? Well, and players and coaches. Yeah,
to me, it is really, really challenging. I mean, I don't even have a concept. And again, I don't give it much thought, to tell you the truth. But how in the world you're going to play a game in the spring, play 10 games in spring, and then turn around and get ready to play in the fall is beyond me. I know that money is the driving factor behind all this. They've got to have their revenue, I guess. But I don't know how in the world they're going to ask a player to play 20-some games in a 24-month or a 12-month period. It just makes no sense. So and until they get everybody on the same page, you got Pac-10 or Pac-12 and Big Ten doing one thing. You got the other three big conferences doing something else. I really, again, without giving them much thought, I really don't know how they're going to do it.
Larry Zierlein is here with us on ESPN 97.5, long-time coach, Super Bowl winning coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers here. on ESPN 97.5. I tell you, Coach, it's funny. You got to have the money, I think. And the way that the NFL is doing, I don't know if you've seen, but they're putting so much money into this thing. I think it's going to work, and I think that we're going to have a football season. You've been there. You've seen what the NFL can do. If there's one league that can get this job done, I think it is. I'm not sure the college is going to be able to get it done, but I think the NFL will. And they're just doing it right out there, Coach.
Yeah, the NFL, I think, has got a chance to get it done. The colleges, as you said, you know, there's so many other sports involved. It's not just college football; it's everything else. Plus, it's going to class and all those kind of things. But I think the NFL does have a chance. You know, there's always going to be the issues of if someone tests positive, then. You know, how many guys have to be quarantined? How many days do they have to be quarantined? I think you're going to have to carry another quarterback who's not with the team all week, just so that you've got somebody who can play quarterback on game day if everybody else is quarantined. So there are obviously some issues there. But, you know, they're going to have their TV contract. And as I understand it, you know, ESPN may be getting involved if they're not going to have any college football. So they could, you know, they're going to have their luxury boxes. They're going to have their TV contract, and their TV contract might be more than it normally is. So I think the NFL will play, you know, because they haven't had much in the way of practice in the spring, and you know, I don't know what's going on right now. I guess they're practicing, yeah. But I think the play is going to be a little bit shabby.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's interesting is once they get into the bubble situation, I mean, so they had to get tested. There are some guys who had COVID. They, you know, separated them, whatever the case may be. But once they're in, and once they're negative, it's a pretty good situation. And we had the meeting with NFL media. We got to listen to the doctor, Dr. Sills, NFL doctor. I've talked to different people on different teams, different personnel guys who've told me about how it's going. And I think in listening to it, in watching Hard Knocks and what the Rams and the Chargers are doing, man, you know, the only thing that can screw that up is just outside stupid decision-making. Most of the time, I think it would be ill-advised decision-making potentially from the players when they are at home or from people in the same house as a player. So I do think it's going to go. I do think the fact that you have a week between games, you have a chance to find it, you have a chance to get rid of players and quarantine them when they do get. I think pro football will go, and I don't think it's going to be slowed down significantly at all, and I think that's going to be important. One of the guys, I want to switch for a second, because one of the guys who is a Houston Texan, I know you worked with him before the draft a couple years ago, before the Senior Bowl. He had a, you know, dinged up hamstring in Max Sharping, but then you got to spend just a little bit of time with him again this spring before, you know, COVID hit. What can you tell us about Max Sharping? What you thought about Max Sharping when you had a chance to actually, you know, work with him when he was at full speed this year?
Oh, I think Max is I think he is a solid, solid pro. The one thing I like about him, he has got strong hands, and he's got heavy hands. When he punches, it's a punch. Now, the other thing he's got a natural balance, natural base, and that's something that you always look for, because so many guys have that base and balance problem. But he just has a tremendous base, tremendous balance, good punch, and he's really, really, really smart guy. I think I think barring injury, he's going to be a solid, solid, well above average professional for many years.
Coach, what do you think of Bruce Arians and Tom Brady getting together?
Well, they're going to have to make a compromise between a 10-yard pass and a 70-yard pass. So if they can get it to about 40 yards, I think they'll be good. No, I tell you, Bruce is a smart guy, and what he's going to do is he's going to adapt his system to where it fits Tom. He's always been able to do that. He's always been able to take what a guy likes best and do that. It's just that when he had Roethlisberger and Carson Palmer and Andrew Luck and those guys, they were able to throw the deep ball, and that's what Bruce likes to do. I think Brady can still throw the deep ball, but, you know, Brady's thing has always been he doesn't take very many sacks, and if you're not going to take very many sacks, you can't hold on to the ball all day. And at his age, for sure, he's not going to be wanting to get hit a lot. So I think there'll be a compromise there. I think there'll be. I think you'll probably see a lot of the Patriot concepts in there, and you'll see. You'll still see Brady throwing deep, particularly off play action. I think it's going to be interesting how they use Gronkowski, because Bruce has never been a guy that's really majored in the tight end in his passing game, and now he's got a guy that Brady loves to go to, and so it'll be interesting to see just how the tight end situation works out as far as passing game's concerned.
Yeah, that's one of the things that B.A., I texted him about how he was going to – I was writing an article for NFL, and I just texted him real quick and just said, will you – you know, how is that going to work with the way Tom plays and the way you – he said, we've got – we can adapt to any – he said, yeah. My passing game, I can adapt to whatever. We just – this is a different quarterback. We'll adapt to Tom Brady. You'd be stupid
yeah,
not to
yeah,
adapt
Yeah, he
to
will.
Tom
he's Bruce is going to use the talents of the guys he's got around him.
I do want to ask you – before I let you go, Dad, I want to ask you about Jadeveon Clowney, because – that's funny. I've heard from three different people, and you are one of them who have – Jadeveon Clowney is unsigned to this day, and I don't know if he's asking for a ton of money. I think there is a chance that his reputation is not being a worker in practice and things like that has kind of spread around the league. I think that's hurting him a little bit as well. But it was interesting, and everybody that I talked to that was around him this offseason said, this is a different guy than we've seen in the past, and he – seems to be maturing and realizing what he hasn't done and what he needs to do. I know you had a little bit of time there when he was at Danny's facility. Did you get that same vibe from
yeah,
him?
In fact, I got to know him just a little bit, not a lot, but, you know, it was interesting talking to him about what he did with pass rushers, and I always like to talk to the defensive guys and see, you know, see what they do when they're rushing the passer. But one thing that he did say and it just kind of passing, I mean, it wasn't a thing that we discussed at length, but I got the feeling that he did realize that, you know, that he needed to change the perception of him and his work habits. But boy, I'll tell you what, that guy is a special talent. He can go laterally and cover more ground faster than anybody I've ever seen.
Kind of unbelievable he's not signed yet, but something's obviously up. So, but everybody I've talked to, they've all said the same thing. Is like he's coming to a realization that he hasn't done what he needs to do. Now, saying it and doing it are two different things.
Yep.
So yep. He's going to have to get a prove-it deal for 1 year before he gets a big second
maybe
contract.
He'll come in after training camp so he doesn't have to do that, too.
that's a pretty good strategy. That's one that a lot of those older guys know how to work that one.
Yep. A lot of guys would like to do that. Coach, hey, we appreciate you joining us. Sorry for your loss with Coach Yeoman. I know you guys were close, and that's a loss for you. And what a great guy and what a great opportunity he gave you. So it was nice to reminisce a little bit. We appreciate you being here, and best of luck. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, let me just say, of all the guys I ever worked for, he was by far the best. I mean, he was an outstanding football coach, outstanding human being, and it was just such an honor to spend time with him for those 9 years.
Great stuff. We appreciate it, Coach. Coach Larry Zierlein here on ESPN 97.5. I got to talk about my peeps over chest thing. I went to lunch the other day there, and Allie and Tony and Patrick, they showed me around, and they showed me this EcoSport. It's a car. It's a smaller SUV. How about this? It starts at $199 a month. A brand new EcoSport. EcoSport has so many cool features. It's got the 8-inch screen, giant screen with Sync 3, Ford Pass Connect, push start button, backup camera. It's got all the stuff, everything, but it's $199 a month. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? So listen, you can even buy this thing at home because Chastang lets you buy at home. It's called Chastang at Home, and you can do everything from your laptop. They will even deliver the car to you, so you never have to step foot in the dealership if you don't want to. Now, other dealers won't let you do this because they've got to get you in there. I swear, this is what they do. They've got to get you in there because they've got to, well, you need this spray on liner. Ooh, you got to have this tint. Or you got to have this fabric seal. You got to have this paint seal. You got to do all this. And by the time you're done, it's $3,000 or $4,000 more than you wanted to spend. But that's not what they're doing at Chastang Ford. They actually let you do everything at home, and they will deliver you the car. You want that service. They'll pick your car up. They'll service it. They'll sanitize it, and they'll bring it back. That's the kind of service you get at Chastang Ford you're not getting everywhere else. So if you're looking for to join that Chastang family, just go to ChastangFord.com. You can buy it all online, or you can go to the dealership. It's on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, two exits east of 59. It's Chastang Ford.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So Florida State, Syracuse, and Pitt having some problems. All right, nice job, ACC.
All in one conference.
ACC. Stupid ACC sucks.
Let me tell you, now, here's a big concern, though.
Should the ACC drop to FCS?
If the ACC dropped out, Big 12 is a concern.
Yeah.
SEC is going to go out fighting and kicking. I don't know what it will take to
beat SEC. SEC might just play, screw it, we'll just play us. That's it.
But don't be stupid, ACC. And Dell brought up a point on our text thread, the same one you brought up. Yeah, I think a couple times. This is a regional thing. Like, schools from the Northeast are going to be more cognizant and aware, maybe a little bit more demanding about this.
It's not a bad thing that the Syracuse players walked out because they're not being tested. And here's what I said, too, is that you can't trust coaches to do this and administrators to do this because it's expensive. And the ADs are going to say, we can't afford that. Okay, well, don't worry. We'll just cut back. That's what they were doing at Syracuse. And that's what they're doing. Florida State is lying and Pitt. And, you know, Pitt's a little bit different story. But They had sick kids and they shut it down, which is what they were supposed to do. But you can't leave it up to them. There has got to be some protocol from outside that says this is how you're going to do, or from the conference itself that every team, every school is uniform with.
Yeah, they don't have uniform testing until they're in season, so the schools can do it at their discretion. As you guys mentioned, Syracuse players, and they've missed three practices in the last eight sessions apparently because of their issues. First, it was they didn't think the conference overall was testing enough. And now it's about their own particular coaches not testing enough. Florida State, there's some back and forth there because other Florida State players have said, we believe in the coaches. They're keeping us safe. Apparently, it's coming all from the wide receiver room. DJ Matthews, he wasn't the player who tweeted out the letter, but he tweeted out something about testing positive, and then he deleted it. And I think even Tamari and Terry, another wide receiver, tweeted out something very cryptic. So most of the pushback from testing or against the staff and administrators is coming from the wide receiver room. Everyone outside of that who's been public about it player-wise has been like, nah, we're good. We believe in what's going on.
Sometimes that stuff can get rolling in one position group too. And I know two of the guys – I know there is a concern about at least like if two of them might be leaving anyway. There's some chatter about. I heard the same thing that there's not a lot of love for between a couple of those players in the program. I don't know the specific players.
Well, and you bring this stuff up now, and you say I can't stay here anymore. You'll get an immediate waiver to play somewhere else.
Interesting.
Yes. If you think I'm in danger here, you just tell that to the NCAA and you get to play right away elsewhere.
That's what I was wondering about. The idea that people are being courted and the direct messages are going to fill up. Cole Kubelik said this to us the other day, that coaches are going to have their DMs fill up with players who want to come over. Like, is college football going to allow Big Ten players to leave? Like, you don't have to play. Your health's not, you're not at risk because you're not even playing. Is that going to – you're not going to be allowed to leave school and play right away, are you? What's
had this conversation. I don't think they can. I think the NCAA is
– They can't let they it. Can't they can't open it. The doors like
now,
that.
Now, if you prove that you feel like you're in danger somewhere,
yeah,
that somewhere isn't taking care of the players and they're endangering them, then the NCAA will listen to that, because if they don't, I mean, there's so many silly reasons that the NCAA has granted immediate waivers. I mean, it's, some of it is really silly to say that you, if you feel like you're in danger, and if you come out publicly like Terry did, and say, and DJ Matthews have, and say stuff that you feel like you're in danger, those guys can transfer and they will get immediate.
I don't see the NCAA opening the floodgates for players from, it could potentially devastate a team or a conference.
Yes.
They're not going to do that. And look, we know it's because players want to play right away. If they are graduate students, maybe they'll open the window for graduate transfer.
Well, if they're
graduate
students, they can anyway.
Yeah. Can you do it at any time, or is there a window?
I probably any time. School hasn't started yet anywhere, so
that's what I'm saying. If there is a window, they would probably open it.
Yeah. Those kids are allowed to anyway. If they're still at their school, some kids have gone in as graduate transfers into Ohio, into Big Ten schools, and they're like,
I can't stop thinking about
the hell. We're not playing.
Yeah, that would really suck. I can't stop thinking about these neck gaiters that people are wearing, where it was literally ranked.
Obviously not Boomer Naturals, because those are safe.
Yeah, these other ones that are out there are literally ranked as some of the least effective, mm-hmm. which I never would have, I wouldn't have guessed, I didn't know. But the materials ranked as one of the, in a study that was just done.
So you can't stop thinking about it? It's
well, I see it all over the place. Like Syracuse players going in. That's not going to stop you?
Yeah, Miami players before, when they were doing their when they're doing on-field voluntary workouts, I guess they asked them to all wear neck gaiters just for like conditioning stuff. And now they were distance and stuff, so it wasn't a big deal. The NCAA, to you guys, back to the point about opening up the floodgates, the NCAA has already deemed holding championships is not something they think they can do, because they had already canceled Division II championships, Division III championships. Now, we talked about how they don't control actual FBS, but they do control like soccer and volleyball. Mark Emmert came out yesterday and said, fall championships are off. We will try to hold them in the spring, which led some sports writers to talk about, I guess only football is playing. That's not necessarily true.
Mm-mm.
Like, the SEC can still hold their regular season soccer championship and then have a conference tournament. It's just that those players don't have a national title to compete for. So the speculation is, if you ban fall championships, does it make the SEC and other conferences who want to play this fall take pause? Because are you going to have your players in those other sports play without a shot at national title? And if you don't want that to happen and you want them to play for a national title in the spring, that means you're only playing football in the fall. So some people think that's a little, hey, everyone, are you really just going to play football this fall and not let your other sports play because they don't have a shot at national title? So some people think that's kind of a game that's being played. I don't know what the AAC and the ACC would do if you have a really good team, particularly in soccer. The ACC has good women's soccer teams. Are you not going to allow them to compete for a national title by playing in the fall?
I guess not.
Well, but the rule was, well, I guess the bowl rule is we got to have more than half. I guess Mark Emmert saying, we don't have to hold championships if we don't want to.
They feel like it's not safe. At least that's what he was saying. But so if
he can't spend the money. Dude, you know how hard it is to spend the money?
So, but initially I was saying this because
for non-revenue sports, especially
if he doesn't deem it safe to hold a championship, then I don't think he would allow for a kid to transfer to another school just to play football, because he would say, well, NCAA doesn't think it's safe to play football anywhere. So we're not going to let you transfer to a place to go play football if you're in the Big Ten. We're not going to let you transfer to ACC to play football. We don't even think you should be playing football.
Right.
So I don't think that's going
to
be a deal.
And not only that, that's not a reason. You are going to play football in the spring, so there's no reason to transfer it, because there will be football.
I do wonder what the conferences will do. Will they say, sorry, women's soccer team, you can play now, but there's no national title on the table for you? Or I would petition, hey, why can't we play our fall season? And then when you hold your tournament, we won the conference. Isn't that an automatic bid? Let us play in the tournament. If North Carolina wins the women or men, whatever, wins the ACC soccer tournament. And if I don't even know how they do bids, but if that's an automatic bid into the NCAA tournament for soccer, why couldn't they play in the tournament in the spring? I mean,
Well, you're going to have to keep on training for months.
That's true. That would be on them.
Yeah.
But why should they be not allowed?
No, they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. The expense of it is going to be great to keep those women. And, oh, by the way, some of them may be graduating, December sure. graduates, those all kinds of
it's
stuff.
It's very complicated, but if you can work it out amongst your team, I think if they do compete in the fall and qualify, they should be allowed to play if there is a tournament. Now, I don't trust that anything's going to get put on in the spring. I don't trust NCAA with anything.
Bulls have fired our boy Jim Boylan.
That was a long time coming. Yep.
That players just never seem to.
Nope. From the get-go,
he had issues.
Yeah, he had issues. He's a great guy, but that's a shame. The Bulls, I mean, they've had some hard-ass coaches now. And it just ain't working there. It just isn't working. Speaking of Boomer Naturals, how about we talk a little bit about Boomer Naturals and we talk about that gator. Listen, the neck gator is safe with Boomer Naturals. If you're looking for a safe, if you like that, if you do like the neck gator and you still want the safety and you still want the breathability, well, that's what they're doing at Boomer Naturals. Boomer Naturals has the safest because they got the nano silver technology, which the other ones don't. And it lasts a month, and you wash it, and you leave it out overnight, and it dries, and then you put it on the next day, and you go, and you are safe. And that's the most important thing because what are you wearing a mask for if it's not going to work? All right, these little blue ones made of nothing, that's not a safe mask. You want to keep yourself safe and everyone around you safe. Boomer Naturals. Go to BoomerNaturals.com, BoomerNaturals.com, and put in promo code Granato, and you're going to save 20%. And next, they're going to give, for every mask that you buy, they're going to give one to a charity. And, oh, by the way, free shipping and handling if you spend more than $50. All at BoomerNaturals.com, promo code Granato.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:30 on ESPN 97.5. So Russ is going to miss the start of the playoffs, and they've got Chris Paul and company to take. Of all of the series, you know, maybe Lakers-Portland, it will have some intrigue because of Dame. Dame solidified himself once again as the eight game. What are they calling the eight games? The
bubble MVP?
Yeah, he's the bubble. But they're calling the eight game something.
Well, he solidified himself
as the MVP of
He solidified himself as the greatest non-hyped superstar in basketball, which he has been probably for 5 years now. He would get that title. I don't know. How would we classify it? When it comes to, we already know Giannis and James. I think here's what he is. He's the best non-MVP in basketball. Some might argue Anthony Davis. I think I'd argue Dame over Anthony Davis. The best player who's never won an MVP, I think, is Dame Lillard. But he plays in Portland. He's loyal to Portland. Mm-hmm. He's openly loyal.
He gives guys the business for moving teams instead of staying where they are.
He's a guy that doesn't get the same shine because his team. Now he has had good teams
too. Now he's in a small market, West Coast, the late games that nobody sees. I mean, so he's got everything working against him. He's got stupid range. They're calling him Logo Lillard.
Yeah, he made a three from the logo yesterday.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, so, you know, he is a superstar that is he the most underrated player in the game?
I think at this point people are done underrating Dame now. Even after he put up his 61 a couple nights ago, he go put some respect on my name. So he believes it, but that was coming off the Pat Beverly, Paul George stuff. I think basketball people understand what that guy is.
Yes.
And who he is. I mean, I've seen people saying he's the closest thing, as far as mentality-wise, to Kobe we have in this league, where the will to win, his willingness to take shots, not Kobe the player, but just that mentality. And I kind of agree. I don't think any basketball people underrate Dame anymore.
No.
I mean, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how.
Well, and if he shows up and gives the Lakers, they're all seven games, right? They didn't change it. The first one to five today. It's all seven. Still, yeah. If he shows up and he can win a seven game series against LeBron,
catches some legend status.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unlike Anthony Davis in though. Well, they did get to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, they did that last year.
I mean, they did that last year. So I mean, and it's all on Dame. And CJ probably doesn't get his due either. But that backcourt is just stupid good. Now with Nurkic, I mean, that's a good. You want to talk about having to play a tough first round for a one seed?
Yeah, we talk about what the bubble or the stoppage because of the pandemic has done. It's removed home court, certainly. And it's made the Lakers play a top four seed in the first round.
Yeah.
That's your reward for being the best team in the West. Not only don't you have home court, you get to play a four seed in your first round.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
And that's really what it is. And good for that. Good. The hardest job, the hardest matchup possible is what I'm about.
Now,
make it as hard as possible for them.
Now we're assuming, and rightfully so, I would imagine, that they're going to get there. They only have to win once, but they still have to go through the Grizzlies and what's left of them. Now, Ja Morant is still really good, but we know the Grizzlies have played really, really poorly. And I guess we all feel bad for the Suns, or do we say, well, you shouldn't have been so bad before the bubble, and then you would have been in. And if your center hadn't been suspended for PEDs, you would have been in.
Yeah.
So I guess we don't feel. Do we feel bad or not?
No.
Bad for the Suns?
I don't know. Feel bad.
Does everybody feel bad for the Rockets right now that Russ has got a quad?
No. No one cares about
that.
No one
ever feels
way.
Bad for the Houston Rockets.
No one does.
Nobody in the league feels bad. I would say now, before we used to say, the Astros are pretty likable across the spectrum.
Not anymore, really.
No, I think now if you said, who has the least likable baseball-basketball combo from national fans and media types? Well, I think it's clearly Houston. It's not even. You used to be able to say, "Well, Astros are pretty well liked, but the Rockets aren't like the Rockets aren't liked by national media, and the fans don't like James because they feel like he gets the free throw line too much. He flops. He travels with a step back, which is a zero step. He doesn't technically travel. Yes, the Rockets have some, and probably rightfully deserve it. It is rightfully deserved the complaining that they do a lot about things like not winning MVPs that." Kind of taking a shine away from Giannis when he won last year. I didn't like any of that stuff. And putting out that, 96-page dossier about why playoff officials hate them or whatever.
And
just let it go. You got a good team. You got, just let some of that stuff go. So we already know about the Rockets. Astros took brand new legend status in that category. Bill O'Brien is just a short step away from making it to putting the Texans in there. All he's got to do is if he can find a way to somehow push Deshaun Watson out in some ugly way, then Houston will have the market cornered on teams that nobody around the country likes. Like, I don't care as long as they win, personally, but...
But no, the Texans, it's not likable, it's not unlikable, it's just...
They're meh.
Blah.
Bill O'Brien has provided the... Well, we thought Deshaun would be that, and he has been for somewhat, but Bill O'Brien has provided the only personality to the Texans, and people feel a certain way in the city and outside of it, but Bill O'Brien is the only spike as far as the Texans are concerned. It's like, nope. And he's the guy. He's the guy who changes and makes people talk about them. But other than that, it's like, okay, the Texans are playing. All right.
The only time you talk about the Texans, I mean, he was voted, again, the worst general manager in the league. There was a list out of the, and again, another list where he's the worst. The only time you talk about the Texans is how they make stupid moves. That's it.
I don't like being on that list.
Well, that's it. But that's the only time anybody talks, well, what about this dumb move? Well, what about this dumb move?
Yeah, I don't like that. That's not my favorite thing.
I mean, it's not. Yeah, Deshaun Watson's a good quarterback, but man, they made too many dumb moves.
Well, we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't have any confidence in the personnel guy, the capologist. That side is a disaster for the Texans, and it's probably maybe Easterby will tighten it up. But I think it's probably going to be a disaster until that's changed. And I don't think that's changed until the whole thing's swept out. You're not going to just take away GM duties from Bill O'Brien and keep him as head coach. I mean, it's an all or nothing thing for Bill O'Brien at this stage. So we'll see what happens, what the coach can do. But I do, you know, it is very strange for us to be in mid-August now, and we really don't have a feel for the football team in terms of what's going on in camp. COVID has kept people away from camp. We don't. Your only insight into camps right now, really, to be honest with you, is when you're watching Hard Knocks. And in the first episode of Hard Knocks, there was not a lot of football going on. So maybe we'll see more football in Hard Knocks. But right now, the concept of football is out there. But we don't, other than people talking about it on TV or, you know, reading some things here and there, some comments from coaches and press conferences, it's like, football is literally happening in a figurative and literal bubble where we just don't have access to it. Right? I don't know who looks good. I don't know which defensive backs look good. Or who's the wide receiver that's really surprising, that undrafted free agent? I don't know because I haven't heard that. Mm-mm. And Bill O'Brien is never going to single out undrafted free agents who are doing well or even rookies who are doing well.
No.
That's not his style, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, you got to earn it before you get a lot of shine. But when we used to be out there at camp, you could see for yourself, like, oh, man, this guy's pretty good. Not this year. That's just not going to happen.
Nope. 839 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. And there's fewer guys, and there's going to be less surprises. There's going to be fewer surprises around the league. There's a lot of guys that aren't even getting a chance this year. They're not even getting a shot this year to make the team. Surprise guys. It's going to be a lot of what we've seen in the past, guys that coaches can rely on, guys who've got, you know, like you said. I mean, how much is Ross Blacklock and how much is Jonathan Greenard? How much are they going to contribute?
I have no idea.
But Blacklock's got to play.
Yeah, Blacklock should. Blacklock has disruptive traits and qualities. You would think Blacklock, you know, it is interesting. The Texans signed P.J. Hall. He was a second-round pick from the Raiders just a couple years ago. He was cut, failed a physical when they tried to trade him to Minnesota, so they cut him. He's got a doghouse. He was not a Mayock pick. He was a Reggie McKenzie and John Gruden pick, and they got rid of him. Well, he's on the team now. He's more of a shade nose. So you got him, you got Blacklock, you got Angelo Blackson, J.J. Watt. Like, Blacklock should matter. I don't know that Greenard, based on the numbers, and once again, I don't know what's going on with Duke Ejiofor. I have no idea how Brennan Scarlett's looking, but I do know there are numbers at the edge position. Now, if the Texans were to get interested in Jadeveon Clowney, which I don't think is going to happen because I heard this again yesterday that Bill O'Brien hates Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know if he hates the person or just hates the work ethic.
Where does this come from, though? Because
It's the work ethic.
No. But where did it come from that these rumors about him? That in this there have been plenty of rumors sides are talking.
I just heard it from you.
Oh, you did?
I'm like, yeah. The rumor is that what I'm hearing on the streets is that Jadeveon Clowney could be a Texan. That's what the streets are saying.
What I'm hearing in the studio.
That's what the streets off of Westheimer near the 610 Loop is saying. Streets are hot with.
Well, for whatever reason, this is out there it's unbelievable.
My source,
you don't get
John Granato.
You don't get kicked to the curb, paying $7 million of his contract just to get him out of here to bring him back. To me, that's silly. He's not a Bill O'Brien guy. He's just not. He's just not a Bill O'Brien guy. So I think we can just stop that. Although. There's like this little flame that won't go out about Jadeveon Clowney coming back here. If he does, that would be amazing. You can use Jadeveon Clowney. Yes, he would help your team. You would be better with Jadeveon Clowney on your team.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a fact.
Yeah, I'd say it's a fact.
And I would really enjoy it, but I don't. I just what we know of Bill O'Brien, that ain't happening.
No, if you hated his work ethic previously, now could you stomach it for 1 year? And is Jadeveon maybe a little different? Yeah, I mean, I think there is a chance. We talked to, you know, my dad was pretty adamant about, man, he seemed like a different guy from what I had heard when I talked to him. He is talented. He's extremely talented. That's what makes it so strange that Jadeveon Clowney's not on the team. This is a concern to me because it means that either Jadeveon Clowney continues to have a bad idea of what his true value is. He either doesn't want to perform, he doesn't want to play in camp, which is another would be another concern for me right now. I mean, this isn't a grizzled old 31-year-old veteran. This is a guy looking for a second contract. If you're not willing to go out there and put it out there right now, then that would still be a concern. Or teams, but even if there's a concern about his work ethic, that still doesn't make sense that Jadeveon Clowney wouldn't be signed to a 1-year deal and, you know, because he's too talented. Yeah. That just doesn't make sense. This has to be that he believes he's worth a certain amount and teams are saying, we're not going to pay him. And Jadeveon says, well, then I ain't coming into camp until it's later.
All right, 843, ESPN 97.5. Oh, man, John Clay Wolf is here with us on ESPN. He bought my daughter's car yesterday.
I saw two of his Wolf pack in on the other side of our building. I couldn't believe it. I said, you guys with the Wolf? They go, yeah. So I heard you're just giving away money to Granato. By the way, somebody said you stepped on his great line that he had. Give me the, what is it? Give me the vig.com? Something like that. Did you say that?
My 11-year-old thinks he's a sports broadcaster, and one of our listeners called him and said, hey, I think you need to get this kid calling everything right. I think you need to start a side company for him called GiveMeTheVig.com.
Oh, I thought that was for John for trying to strong-arm you yesterday into giving him more money.
Guido the Killer Pimp. Well, I've got a trigonometry midterm in the morning, and I'm being chased by Guido the Killer Pimp.
Well, I'll tell you this. You gave me more for that car than I ever thought I'd get. So I don't want to say I worked you on this one, but I'm pretty sure people are working you all the time. You're paying more money for than anybody is. So I'm sure you get screwed on a lot of deals, right?
Yes, I get worked a lot. And it's funny when you see the reviews that people put up on the internet. You know, CarMax hit me at $25,000 and Give Me the VIN gave me $28,000. And I've gone back sometimes and listened because we obviously record all the phone calls because we're doing a large transaction and we need to make sure we have the eye in the sky to, you know, go back and look if there's a lie or misinformation. But they negotiate their balls off, man. Like, so you're 28 and they're and this guy, we give him 28, and this guy's just crying about 28, asking for 28.2, 28.1, 28 in a sandwich. Come on. And then you'll go look at his post on Better Business Bureau or Facebook or Google. Hey, best offer I had was $25,000, and Give Me the VIN gave me 28. And I'll match him back up. And real, my point is the guy that got 3,000 more at our website than CarMax or Carvana was just sitting there busting our sack and just squeezing, trying to get one more ounce out.
Well, I didn't. What did I say? 75, done.
You said sold.
Done. Sold. Right now, give it to me. So who are you going to insult tomorrow morning on your show?
Tomorrow morning, I need to work on that today.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. You talk about some talented guys and the music and everything else. If you haven't heard John Claypool's show on Saturday morning, it's right here, 9 o'clock, right after the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, which features me.
Renato.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I do. I need to get a hold of the commissioner of the Cornhole Association. If you can hook me up with that, I'll get Bobo to call him because I want to have him on the show because I was thinking about this. I mean, how are we changing the name of the Washington Redskins? We can't even name a football team anymore because everybody's so sensitive. But Cornhole, the game Cornhole, has just skated right through under the radar on all.
Well, I'll try to get the hold of the commissioner of the Cornhole League for you. I don't know how that's. I don't know what relevance. But that's your show. I'm pretty sure that will happen on your show. And that is GiveMeTheVin.com tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
848 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Are you guys pissed at Brooks Koepka? Dell, are you pissed at Brooks?
No, why should I be?
Well, last week he was talking about, you know, he was right there going into the final round. He trailed Dustin Johnson by two strokes. So he said he thought his experience would give him an advantage over the golfers ahead of him, pointing out that only one golfer had a major, DJ, with one compared to Koepka's four. And then he proceeds on Sunday to shoot 74, I think. I think he shot, yeah, he ended up at three under. And he was out of the run. Like after the first two holes, you didn't see him again for the day. So Koepka was, you know, and you don't say those kind of things in golf. Listen, I ain't nobody here. Ain't nobody else but me. Okay. When Patrick Reed won his green jacket, he said, I think I'm one of the top five golfers in the world. Or no, this was before he won his green jacket. He won a tournament or his second tournament or some crap. And I think I'm a top five golfer. Oh, do you? Do you, Patrick? Watch this. Slap, slap, slap. You just don't do that in golf. You know, it doesn't have the same bravado. You can't have the same bravado that you have in golf as you have in the other sports. But Koepka says, hey, to be honest, I think I'm going to win. What do you want? I just think I'm better than everybody out there. So, but
why
he said
you have bravado in golf
because golf is so humbling.
That's the truth.
It really is.
The two most humbling things are golf and hitting in baseball, I think. Maybe even being a closer, but baseball and golf are the two most humbling sports.
Yeah.
Without question.
Because there's so many. Yeah, you're only as good as the bad shots you hit. You're only as good as the bad shots.
I can't
shots.
Think of one that even comes close to golf, to be honest with you. I mean, baseball can be humbling for sure, but you can see guys go from being the best to just falling completely out. Like that doesn't happen in baseball. Even baseball can be humbling.
It's happening to Altuve right now.
Well, baseball can be humbling over stretches. Yeah, but same thing happened. I think we're making way too big a deal about this Altuve thing. He stunk at times last year, and then he hit 300. He's just pressing. He's not going to fall off the face of the earth as a
he's
baseball
too good
player.
A hitter.
I would be shocked.
Yep.
Miss a guy who gets 200 hits has what, five different times. He'll be fine. But yeah, golf is fun like that, where it can go in a single day.
Yep.
In a round, you can be playing in the same tournament and have three good days and one just terrible
day. Well, that was what happened to Koepka last week at the PGA. He was terrible on Sunday. Terrible. And he's the guy with the four majors that you think, well, I got to take that guy because he will not fold. And what did he do? He folded on Sunday. And that was the least expected thing. And here's a 23-year-old kid that's hitting every shot and didn't make a mistake. Not one mistake. And he's just 23. And he's the one that's stepping up, while Koepka with the four majors just crumbled, which was unbelievable, just mm-hmm. unbelievable. So he was Adele was a little pissed at him. I mean, at Koepka for saying that kind of stuff, and I get it, Adele. I get it. You were a little mad. You don't like that kind of bravado. You like guys. You know what? Just shut up and play. Right? That's you.
That's not me at all.
Oh,
talk your ish. Brooks
no,
Koepka.
He says shut up and dribble or shut up and drive.
No.
Shut up and putt. Isn't that what you said?
No, I say talk and stop playing golf. That's what I say.
That's what you say. Just don't ever play golf again. Just talk.
I'd rather, stupid Mike, I'd rather listen to you than watch you play. That's what I say.
You'd rather hear golfers giving each other the ish, right?
Yeah, I'm here for to hear the athlete's voice as long as you don't participate in the sport you play when it comes to golf.
You mean just talk. I'm here to just watch the bleep talking. That's what you're here for.
All right, there's your golf segment, Art. I know you hate when we don't do golf.
It's Friday, so congratulations.
Show. It is.
Hey, shout out to our guy Kobos. He's coming in town, and shout out to those of you who donated money. Actually, a while back, I was going to go make a run. I was doing something on Mondays going to try to support local restaurants. People donated money, and what happened was he was not open during the afternoon. So I've hung on to that, waited until he was going to be back in town, and then getting him the money that the people donated, and he is going to be feeding, I think, between 50 and 60 homeless people today. And that's through the donations that people gave me, I think, a couple months ago. I've just been waiting to do that. John put a little something on it. Raul's own wife, Koboski Raul is his name, and his food is getting, you know, Arian Foster so drives to Humble just to get the birria tacos.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I was blown away by them, and I see a lot of people trying to do them. I don't know what he's bringing today.
You better, Raul, and bring fries.
He doesn't do French fries.
He doesn't do
you fries. And your fries and bring fries. What is it with you and French fries? I didn't know that you were so addicted.
You can't have a sandwich.
Now you're a Coors Light guy and a French fry guy.
Well, you can't have a sandwich without chips or fries or something.
I don't know what's coming for you.
It's almost impossible.
I don't know what's coming for you.
No, I don't care what Raul brings. Everything is good. I hate following him on Twitter because you're sitting at home and he's putting out what he's making.
His Instagram is bananas right now.
That is stupid. That looks stupid good.
I'm just telling you right now. It is worth the trip out to Humble. And I'm being real here.
And he's deep in Humble, too. He's in Atascocita, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drove out to a spot. I mean, he's got his own little spot out there. I went out to a spot, and he's just doing some fantastic food right now. He's becoming more mobile. I think he's got some other plans to get bigger. I mean, now's not a great time, but it also is a great time.
It is.
In a weird way, it is a good time if you are clever with how you're doing things.
Everybody's got to eat, okay? Yeah. It's not a bad time to eat.
LeShane opened up his sandwich joint, Louis, but it's actually in Real.
Yeah.
It's like, it's his concept, and he said, we're going to run a secondary concept inside our restaurant. His restaurant's open for dinner at 5, but they're open now at lunch, I think, at 12. And he runs sandwiches all the way through 8 out of the same kitchen.
But does he have French fries? Because he doesn't have French fries.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
he
all right, fries. Then.
If you ask for
it. But here's
the
thing. Did he change it to Louis because that's his real or some kind of alias because he's wanted in Canada or something?
No, I think it has something to do with Canada.
It has something to do with Canada?
I think it's probably something Canadian, yeah.
Well, that's he's a scumbag. Guess. I bet he did something up
he's
there.
He's working on a sandwich called the scumbag.
is he going to?
I'm going to work with him.
It better be sausage
and
peppers.
We're going to develop
it better be sausage and peppers.
He and I are going to work together and develop a sandwich called the scumbag. I haven't decided what it's going to be, but it actually kept me up yesterday thinking about, what can I do?
Well,
it's my big chance to make something called a scumbag. We can't just make it just sausage and peppers.
Well, doesn't it have to play on what John is and what he likes if you're calling it the scumbag? That's where your
inspiration
came from.
Well, he calls all of us scumbags.
Well, no, I'm a scumbag.
Why are you a scumbag?
Everybody's a scumbag.
Just because you're not Canadian?
Well, because you are a scumbag. See, he calls everybody scumbag because he's a scumbag.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a projection.
He tries to project, yeah.
Hey. I was in the other day getting, having the sandwiches, and he goes, hey, bourbon means old granddad. And old granddad shots, sometimes they don't hit you as hard, and sometimes like, mighty, why'd I do that?
Oh, I think they're smooth. We were in there the other night, and we were all doing them. It was good, clean fun.
Smooth. The smooth old granddad. Yeah. I've had it before where it didn't hit as hard. It's like some batches are just terrible. And,
that's not true. Old granddad is consistent.
And I told him no because I was already super full and I knew it was going to be a reflux machine.
I'm disappointed in you.
And so he and the bartender Derek did the old granddad shots, but then Robin came in from Blood Brothers Barbecue because he always comes in. They got the best masks too. Their masks are pretty awesome. But so all of a sudden the three of them are about to do another old granddad shot and I felt left out. I said, let me get one. I feel like I need, you can't go in when people are doing shots and you don't do a shot.
No.
It's not right.
How do you feel about yourself the first one?
I felt fine. I'm totally disappointed.
He's
put six on me before and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
What is this? We've had to Uber. I'm like, I'm leaving my car. We're Ubering. I'm not taking any chances. Let's go.
That's good.
Because I left and I came back in because I left my keys because that's something I would do. Yeah. And he's like, since you're here, one more. So I do one, and then somebody says, hey, Lance, and we start talking. He goes, hey.
One more.
And then I had another one, like 2 in 5 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. No, although you say it like it's a bad thing.
It's not a great thing.
All the stories from LeShane or about LeShane have let me know that all three of you are scumbags, and we just have to rank you from top to bottom.
Right. Well, yeah. LeShane's the number one scumbag.
Well, that's what you say.
I'm last.
Well,
858. Seems unlikely. You know why? Because I'm a champion. That's why. Because
so
of Champion Energy.
I'm with Champion, too.
You're with Champion?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Great bill every month.
See? How about that? Look at Dell. I mean,
I don't like agreeing with him, but I have to when it comes to
Champion. He has to. When he wants to be a champion, you want to be a champion. Dell likes to keep his money in his pocket, not give it to the big, you want to take all my money and send it to Ohio with your electricity company. No.
Your liberal electricity company's taking all of my money.
Yeah.
Your mainstream electricity company. Yeah.
Right. Your Democrat electricity company that wants all my money. No. So if you're looking for that company that's right here in the city of Houston where your money stays, then you go to Champion Energy. You'll love them because you're paying less. That is none of those hidden fees that the other guys throw in there. It's ridiculous. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.